This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
All right, yesterday was a somber day. Lions won, but Aiden Hutchinson broke his leg and his season is in question. Likely done for the entire season. They have not ruled him out, but likely done for the entire season. And when Doug and Scott came in for crosstalk, Doug was gutted. You could tell. He was super down. I listened to the afternoon show. Mike and Rico, headline, season's over. They clarified, yeah, this team can still make the playoffs, but the Super Bowl dream is dead. And maybe I'm just in denial. I don't think the season's over. I still think they can win the Super Bowl. And maybe it's because I just don't want to believe the season's over in October. But John, maybe it's coping. They're really good against the run. The secondary looks improved. They're going to add somebody on the edge. I don't think it's going to be a Myles Garrett or a Max Crosby. But maybe it's a Harold Landry, a Za'Darius Smith, fingers crossed, Trey Hendrickson. I think they'll add somebody. And their offense looks better than a year ago. Nobody scares me in the NFC. Am I in denial?
No, I don't think you're in denial. And some of it is, okay, we're, you know, what, 6 weeks in, already had the bye week. And like you said, I don't think there's any unbeatable team. There's no one that strikes fear. And we'll get a chance to see Minnesota firsthand, the undefeated team in the NFC, this weekend. But I don't, and maybe this is my perception of Sam Darnold that needs to change. And I have upgraded my perception of him, but I still don't think he is a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. He's performing much better than that right now. I just think over the course of a season, some of those warts will be shown again. I'm curious as to see how he handles the secondary of the Lions defense, because they're going to be able to get everybody out in routes.
Mm-hmm.
No have to worry about chipping, because Aiden Hutchinson will be there.
Yep.
To your point, and I don't see a dominant team in the NFC. I see this team as the best offense in the NFL. Now, what do you need to pair that with? Can it be a top 15 defense? Are they still a top 15 defense without Aiden Hutchinson?
I don't know.
I think they do need to add an edge. There's no question. They need to add an edge. But one's not going to be here for this game against Minnesota, and they have until early November, mm-hmm. the trade deadline, to analyze, to make calls, to put together a deal with another team, whoever that might be, to get more edge help. Would it be a major move, a positive, to add edge talent? Because it's not just adding it now. Unless you're adding a guy that's in the last year of his contract, but you can always then obviously, you know, extend him. But if you add somebody, it's what we wanted him to do in the offseason. And then next year, when Aiden Hutchinson is back, and maybe he's back earlier, but when he is back, now you've got a tandem.
Yeah, I mean, I think edge was already a need, and clearly Aiden's, if not the best, one of the best edge players in the entire league. He was tracking to have a breakout season. And he already has established himself as one of the best, but he was tracking to be the defensive player of the year. So that's why I said, like, am I in denial? Am I not making a big enough deal of this? I know how good he is. And I think we did a good job yesterday highlighting just how important he is to this football team. But one player on defense shouldn't sink this ship. 248-539-9797. You guys can weigh in on that. Phones and ticket texts. This question about the season being over, like, I don't consider the season over. And maybe that is that I don't want it to be over. But I think they did make strides adding DJ Reader to this defensive line to stay as one of the elite run-stopping units, which means you're going to get a lot of third and longs, which means your secondary is going to be tested. I think the secondary is better. They're going to blitz more, clearly. That's not the only solution. You can't blitz your way to a Super Bowl. But I do feel like they're better than the Niners. I think they're better than the Eagles. We're going to get a chance to see head up against the Vikings, but two meetings this season against them. This team is still the best team in the North to me. And if you're winning your division, if you've got home playoff games, if nobody else in the NFC is head and shoulders better than you, yeah, I'm going to take this team, puncher's chance all the way. You get to the Super Bowl, you're probably underdogs against Mahomes or Lamar or Josh Allen or whoever is from the AFC. But you're in the game at that point.
Yeah.
Like, get to the game and see what happens. And I'm not promising Aiden's going to come back. I think the chances are probably less than 10%,
yeah.
Maybe 5%. But what if he does come back? I mean, either way, get to the game and see what happens.
I don't think the season's over. I think all of the goals are still in front of them. You're going to have guys that are currently on the roster step up and play better. Now, it, as Dan had said, we'll get a chance to talk to him at 8:02.
Yeah.
But as he had talked about is, hey, these guys are on the roster for a reason. We have to develop players for situations like this. Now, do I believe Josh Pascal can go out there and fill the void of Aiden Hutchinson? No. Do I think James Huskin can fill the void of Aiden Hutchinson?
No.
No. But you have to get an aggregate of as much of Aiden Hutchinson as you can possibly get.
Here's Aiden Hutchinson's PFF stats as his season ends. He was the number one defensive player, according to PFF. He had the number one pass rush grade. He had the most quarterback pressures, the most sacks, the most quarterback hits, the most hurries. He had the best pass rush productivity grade and the highest pass rush win rate. There's nobody you can trade for to replace him. Nobody. So I understand where that comes from, this belief that, like, you're just not going to replace Aiden Hutchinson. But it doesn't mean the team has to crumble. It doesn't mean you can't still win the Super Bowl. The team has a bunch of other really good players on offense and defense now.
Yeah.
And I will be disappointed if they don't at least trade for some level of pass rush in the next 3 weeks. Let's get to the phones. John Onicell, you're on 97.1. John, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to tell you how we're still Super Bowl bound, at least have the possibility. I was at the game, and as many people told you, it was electric. But, hey, we got prayers up for Hutch, but we still got so many playmakers on both sides of the ball. I mean, look at what Brian Branch is doing.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely incredible. I mean, I have never seen a rookie, remember starting what he did in Kansas City, who came out, exploded on the scene, moved him to another position, and he is still producing at a high level. But it's not just on the defensive side of the ball, along with Kirby Joseph. I look at what Amon-Ra St. Brown is doing. He wasn't even targeted until later in the game, but when you go back and look, he's still blocking downfield, knowing he's not getting the ball. And then when it was time for him to get the ball, he's scoring touchdowns. So that's why I said, guys, we got a complete team. If we can get something on pass rush, we can't replace Hutchinson. But if we get something on the pass rush, guys, I still think we got a great chance to go all the way.
Yeah, and John, I'm with you. I've seen more and more names get thrown out in the now, 48 hours since the game was played? Not quite. Trey Hendrickson, if Cincinnati loses a couple more games, that's guy number one. Harold Landry on a Titans team that already has a bunch of losses. Landry has familiarity with Terrell Williams, who is now the Lions' D-line coach. Landry had 10 sacks a year ago, is healthy from that ACL. That'd be another name I'd inquire about. And then we brought up Za'Darius Smith. None of these guys are Hutch. I'm not asking them to be. I don't expect them to be. Other guys are going to have to step up and play better around him.
Yeah, you're going to still have to try and create pressure. Some of that can come from the middle. You're going to have to get edge pressure as well. And to do that, you're going to have to go out there and add someone.
Brian and Sterling Heights here on 97.1.
Oh, man. When I heard Valeni say that yesterday, and the Lions are pretty much wiped out from a Super Bowl contender, and I would love to tell it to him to his face, but his little Kenny and David block me all the time when I call. But I'm going to tell you guys, and if you want to relay it, go
sure,
ahead.
I'll pass it along.
Listen, when Aiden went down, from what I saw, I watched the entire game. They didn't miss a beat the rest of the 2.5 quarters of that game. And you say, like, you get these guys, these awesome premier pass rushers and studs, because it helps enhance lesser talent. Well, first of all, I'm not sure there is lesser talent, but if there is, this is their chance to be like Aiden. Now step up and do it, because like you just said, you know, Cookies, there is no team better in the NFC still, in my opinion, with the loss of Aiden, still better than the Lions in the NFC. And I think they have the total legit chance to get to the Super Bowl. And, yeah, you're going to see it today, this week when they take on Minnesota. That's a huge test and chance to knock them off the ranks of the unbeaten.
Brian Sterlingheights, I'll write this note down. I'll pass it along to the guys.
So the only thing I would say to Brian is when they didn't miss a beat, and I don't know what they were talking about in the afternoon, nor do I care. But when Aiden went down in the third quarter, that Dallas team had already waved the white flag.
Yeah.
They were going through the motions. They were a decimated team in every facet of the term decimated. Injuries, performance, mentally, they were absolutely beat up. And so, yeah, they didn't miss a beat because they had no heartbeat at that time.
Yeah, the real test is this week and in the coming weeks. When you play Green Bay and you play Houston, you're going to play some good quarterbacks and you're not going to get the same level of pressure without Aiden. You're just not going to do it. His point, though, is no one in the NFC is scary. You very much are in.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The NFC race, you're as good as anybody, if not better than anybody, especially if you add a pass rusher. So my question was, are we in denial? Am I in denial? I don't think the dream is dead. Afternoon show, I disagree with them. They presented the case that, yes, this team's Super Bowl opportunity is over.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, and as you heard, Jared Goff joins us at this time. Detroit Lions quarterback Jared, as always, thank you very much for being with us. And, you know, Sunday's game, I guess we'll get it out of the way with the Hutch stuff. Such a great performance, and yet it felt like it kind of cast a pall over what happened. How do you as a team make sure, I mean, you don't want it to hurt you long term. How do you process that injury when the team played so well?
Yeah, it's hard. You know, it really is. I mean, Hutch is as important to our team as anybody. And the type of guy he is, the type of teammate he is, the type of player he is, obviously the year he was having was helping us tremendously. So, yeah, you're never going to be able to replace him. You can't. But having guys step up in his place and make plays and do their own thing is what's going to be most important moving forward. And it sucks for him, and it sucks that he has to go through this. But if I know him as well as I think I do, he's going to come back even stronger and going to be even better.
Well, you just mentioned something about guys having to step up. You have a unique perspective. You go against this defense. You see guys like Mitchell Agudé like every day, and then players that we never see. Is there an underrated player on the practice squad or that's on the defense every day that you're like, this is a guy that I know can give us more that maybe we out here aren't as aware of?
Yeah, you know, there's a bunch of them. Again, I don't think you're not going to have someone step in that's going to be getting the type of production he was doing. I mean, it's just he was at the top of the league. It doesn't really exist anywhere else. So you're going to try to find it in different ways, and it's going to be more than one guy. It's going to be a multitude of guys. It's going to be guys that were already in there stepping up and playing even better. It's going to be the secondary, you know, having to step up, and us on offense having to, you know, do more as well. So it's a multitude of things. It's not going to be one guy, and you know, he's a hell of a player for us, Hutch is, and it's tough to lose him.
An injury like that leads to a lot of trade talk, and one thing that we seem to be able to glean out of this regime is that football character matters. Do you notice it when new players come into the locker room that they emphasize the football character and the professionalism?
Oh yeah, totally. I think more than anything, they bring in guys who love the game and who want to play and who are typically unselfish. And you know, even the guys that, you know, are on the practice squad that may only be here for a few weeks to get picked up elsewhere. Like, you can tell right away, like, okay, this guy practices hard. He loves football. He wants to be here. And they kind of just bring one after another in like that.
One of the aspects that Hutch clearly has is leadership, and losing that leadership is tough. But you guys are chock full of players on this team that look like they're leaders. Alex Anzalone certainly on the defense, you on the offense. I mean, can you talk about how important leadership is with this team, even with him out?
Yeah, sure, certainly. That's a good point of that we do miss as well, not just his play on the field, but he's a dang good leader, and he leads by example in the way he practices and just does everything right. And, yeah, again, having other guys that are going to have to fill those shoes a little bit. And, you know, whether it's already the guys that are in place as captains and leaders doing a little bit more, or guys that haven't had that role yet having to step into that.
You know, one of the examples that I look at when I see leadership, what happened after the game when Dan Campbell gives you the game ball and you gave it right back to him and gave your reasons why, and I thought it was pretty awesome. Who influenced you in becoming a leader, and who did you most learn from about leadership?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I've just tried to learn, and as I've gotten older, and I think mostly when I've gotten to Detroit since the trade is when I've been able to kind of come into my own as a leader. And, you know, obviously seeing Dan do it, I mean, he's as good as I've been around as far as, you know, reading the room and knowing when to push, when to pull. So I've learned a ton from him. There's a ton of guys on our team right now. I mean, Panay is a great leader. I think Saint leads incredibly well. Anzalone, like you mentioned, Decker, Frank, like we got a ton of great leaders. I mean, David, obviously, you know, it's hard to continue to list them, but you know, I try to learn from those guys every day and try to get better. It's an aspect of, my game, my career that I've been, intentional about in the last 4 or 5 years.
There's a saying I've heard offenses say that they, when the game is over, we left a lot of meat on the bone. I don't feel like you left a lot of meat on the bone Sunday in Dallas. I felt like you guys capitalized, and Ben Johnson's game plan seemed to be savage. Like he was sending a message. What was your take on that?
Yeah, I don't know if we did leave any meat on the bone, like you said. And yeah, we were just going out there trying to play well. I don't think we were trying to be savage or anything like that. We were just trying to, you know, play well and execute our plays, and we kind of hit on a lot of them. And when that happens, you score a lot of points. And I thought at the end there, you know, we weren't trying to pull it on or anything. We were just running the plays that were presented by our defense, and it was a good day for us for sure.
All right, we're because Doug and I both kind of looked at each other and said, "This is interesting." So now that the game's over with, right, and we know that each game it matters like as much as the next game, right? But can you admit the Dallas game meant a little bit more? I mean, Ben Johnson's throwing out plays for offensive linemen. Panay Sewell is catching, you know, a lateral, and he's diving into the end zone. There were specific plays set up for offensive linemen to score that has to be in retaliation of last year.
Retaliation of what? For the referees making a mistake?
Like, yes.
We weren't trying to prove them. Like, it was just, we're just trying to win the game. And the play to Decker, yeah, you know, there may have been a little tongue in cheek there, but like it was part of the game plan that we thought was going to work. We wouldn't have ran it if we didn't think it was going to work. And the same thing with the play to Panay. Like, we've been practicing that play for a few years now. And this week, the defense they were running presented it. It wasn't like we were trying to, you know, force feed it to them. It's just the way the game was going and the way it set up, it worked.
Well, one thing we love seeing Panay Sewell involved in the game plan. We've seen him do some other plays lined up wide, whatever. He's fun to watch. Is he the best athlete on the team, or is he just out to prove that he should be considered the best athlete on the team?
He might be the best athlete in the league. You know, pound for pound, you find somebody that runs like that, that can move like that, that has a little bit of wiggle like he has, and he's as good as I've ever seen.
Okay, you guys ran a bunch of interesting plays. The reverse flea flicker to Laporta, the pass to Decker, the pass to Sewell. You had Skipper split out wide on a play. Any nicknames or what these plays are called that you can share with us? Because we've learned a lot. You guys really have fun.
This is becoming fun.
This is what you name these plays. Is there any you can share with us?
Sure. So the play that we ran to Sam, we ran last year against Carolina, if you remember.
Yep.
And that play is called Boilermaker. And it is called Boilermaker because David Blau ran it in college. And that's what they called it in college.
Okay. How about the one to Sewell?
Nothing special there. That was just, there was no special name for that.
All right. Now, when Skipper was split out wide, would you have actually thrown it to him?
He's a part of it, yeah. I mean, I threw it to him last year against Carolina, like, He's a part of the read. He's number 4 or 5 on the read, but you can get there if the pocket allows and everyone else is covered. He's definitely a part of it.
How do you keep your composure in the huddle when you know the play comes through your helmet from Ben Johnson? You know what's and you gotta bark it out to the team. How do you keep your composure and not laugh or smile when you're about to run one of these plays?
It's a good question. The one that Panay, you know, you start getting excited, and I kind of like wink at him, like, here it comes. But everything else, to be honest, was part of stuff that we've done before, and they're not plays or play calls that are any bit more exciting. You know, they're just plays that we have to execute, to be honest with you. And the one that Panay is fun, and we were kind of waiting for that one to come up for a year or two now, and sure enough, there it was. But other than that, yeah, it was all just standard operating procedure.
J-Mo's been great, but when he dropped that pass, did you guys intentionally go back to him and say, all right, let's get this out of the way? Next play's coming to you as well.
Ben may have. I haven't asked him that. I think that's been one of the biggest parts of J-Mo's game that has gotten so much better is he doesn't dwell on those mistakes, you know, at all really anymore. And he's very, very strong-minded in that way. Where, you know, I'm like, dude, you're going to drop a ball. Like, it happens to everybody. I'm going to make a bad throw. I'm going to throw an interception. You're going to drop a ball. And I think in his younger years, he was so hard on himself about it. And to see him come back, and I had a pretty good feeling that ball was going to go to him on the next play, and to see him come back and make a really good catch on not a great throw, and it was good to see.
You can answer this question. You're more qualified than anybody. Is this year's offense better than last year's offense?
You know, I'll tell you in like 12 weeks. How about that? I don't know. It's week 5. About 3 weeks ago, you guys said that we were, you know, maybe one of the worst in the league. We couldn't score in the red zone. Remember all that?
So, oh, yeah.
I don't know. We'll see as the weeks go on.
All right.
Well, look, it's hard to imagine the offense can be better than what you guys have played the last couple of weeks, and yet it seems like Laporta and St. Brown really have yet to have their number called like it was last year. Can you guys be even more explosive offensively?
I think so. Yeah, I do. I think, you know, just continue to get everyone involved, and I think that game was kind of representative of what we can do if we're hitting on all cylinders. But yeah, I think there's more there, you know, with Sane obviously not getting as many touches this past game. And, you know, Gibbs has that ability to be explosive as well. We weren't able to like kind of get him on too many big plays down the field or anything like that. But yeah, there's a ton left out there. We got so many great players. Our offensive line is so great. I like to think I'm pretty accurate in getting it to them. And I think we can continue to grow.
Tim Patrick is looking like another Brad Holmes special, guy claimed off waivers that you guys turn into a very useful player. You got to be pretty excited about his emergence.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's been a great player. We didn't turn him into anything. He just hasn't been able to play for the last couple of years. So he's been a great player. When he was available, I was pounding on, you know, on the table, trying to get him. And I'm happy we did. And Brad made, you know, a great call with him, and he fits us. He really does. He blocks hard. He does everything right. He's a hell of a player.
How impressed are you with David Montgomery's running style?
Yeah, he's damn good, huh? He's fun to watch, and seems like the run's never over with him. And he's won that angry run thing now twice. He's gotten the double scepter, it's called. I don't know how many guys have gotten that, and we'll see if he can get a triple scepter coming up here.
Final thing, Minnesota, one of the big surprises in the NFL. What have you seen from them?
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. They were a good team last year. They were banged up quite a bit and lost their quarterback for half the year. But other than that, they were a dang good team, and they're dang good again. And they're good on defense. They're well coached. Flores is a great coach. A lot of respect for him. Obviously, Kevin O'Connell, I was with. Ton of respect for him. What they're doing offensively. They're as good as any other team in the league right now. And going to their place, these are the games you dream about. And it'll be a fun one.
Hey, you're not 29 anymore. Did you do anything special last night?
Oh, yeah, just went to dinner. Just had a nice little night with
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With my wife, and it was good.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I appreciate that.
We'll see you and talk next week. Good luck at Minnesota.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
There he is, Lions quarterback Jared Goff, here on 97.1 The Ticket.
So my point is, if you want to hear about Tigers, Odyssey.com Rewind. We did about 2 hours on it. Scott Harris spoke. We debated some of the payroll stuff. Go and get it. And honestly, if now's not the time, tell me when. We have moved into Lions phase, day two. And with Aiden Hutchinson done for the year, there's a real divide at this station, and I think there's a divide in the fan base. I don't think you're just fine. I don't think you're the same team without Hutch as you are with. And that's not negativity. It's called respect to the player. If the 49ers lose Trent Williams tomorrow, they're not winning a Super Bowl. Like if the Chiefs lose Chris Jones, you're not winning. Like that's the world we exist in. So, yes, we are going to have conversations, and some of you won't like them, or some of you will, I don't know. I really don't care. I'm just at a point where it's like, this is how I feel and whatever. Yes, I would pick up the phone and call about Max Crosby. Laugh. I don't care. Because you know what else I don't care about? Draft picks. Not once I've gotten to the mountaintop. I don't care about picking 30th. I don't care about picking 28th. I care about a team that is good enough right now to win a Super Bowl. And I just lost my difference maker, my biggest difference maker on defense. One of the two players on this team that are wholly irreplaceable. The other's Jared Goff. Yes, I would call about Myles Garrett. Why? Well, they just traded Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. Oh, but what about the dead money? Dude, they're dead regardless. Go look at their cap table. They're not winning. They can't win with Deshaun Watson. They have to burn it to the ground. Go ahead, get rejected. Have the Browns say they want 12 first-round picks. Have Myles Garrett say he wants to live out his days in Cleveland. I don't care. Pick up the phone. And when Aiden comes back, what a problem to have. That I've got Crosby and Aiden, or I've got Myles and Aiden. No, I don't want to just do the Detroit thing. Safe and sound and, well, we're just going to get a cute little complimentary Pete. I'm not interested. Mm-hmm. That's not what wins Super Bowls. You can't watch this team and be enthralled with them because of their stars and then be mad when I tell you you can't win without those players. Aiden is your only star on defense, and he's gone, and it's over. And by the way, I know the midday didn't want to hear it, and I know mornings don't want to hear it. If you think that's the last injury you're going to incur, I can't help you. So looking at the team as they sit here right now, that's not real. By December, three or four other starters won't be around. So consider it future-proofing. You don't wait until there's a hole in your roof.
Very fair.
That, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Rico, so let's talk about it. Like, look, the Browns traded Amari Cooper today. The Raiders traded Devontae Adams. You have to at least pick up the phone. Get laughed at. Who cares? You got to try.
Yeah, what you can't do is just simply say, it's got to be the right fit, and we got this thing, we're culture, we're building. Guys, I understand it, and that's all fine and well, but trust me, you win a title, and you know what that malcontent will become? He'll become your version of Rasheed Wallace. Not necessarily a great teammate, but he was your guy, and he helped you win a title.
You need to go out. Campbell audio?
Yeah.
Here, David, do you have that queued up? Morning sure show do. Again, Odyssey.com Rewind, if you want to hear the interview. But take a listen when Cookie's asked about replacing Hutch. You tell me if this sounds like a coach who thinks they're going to do big things.
Honestly, I think, if anything, you're looking for really a role player. Somebody, I think, that can set an edge, that can transition into rush. It doesn't have to be somebody. I mean, look, as you guys know, these elite rushers and edge setters and all that don't just fall off trees, you know, and or if they do, then you're going to have to sell the farm to get them. But I do think there could be some guys out there, man, that'll fit into what we're doing defensively. They can serve a role. They can help maybe supplement some of what's going on inside with what we got with Mac and Levi and Reeder and those guys. And I think more than anything, you're looking for at least a complimentary piece.
Doesn't sound like they're going to be swinging for the fences, Mike. Doesn't sound like they're going to be going after the Myles Garretts of the world, trying to go and get that splash player, somebody who can help you replace Hutchinson. And then when Hutch comes back, now you got a fantastic duel.
Well, David, you asked a question to me when I was talking to you before the show, and now's the appropriate time for you to ask it on the air. Just say it with your chest, as Dan Campbell says.
Say it.
Say it.
Why can't we ask for more in this town? Why can't we? This Lions team is the team in this town that's expected to win it all. And you're dealing with an injury now to a key player. So what's wrong with saying, go get a guy? What's wrong with asking for more? That's with every team in this city. Why not?
You want me to answer that for you, David? Because if you did that, it actually means that you're raising the bar and you're putting expectations out there. And this city doesn't like expectations. This city likes to be the underdog. This city likes Detroit versus everybody. But if you put expectations out there, well, we're disappointing. This team let me down. And Detroiters can't handle being let down. Now, the Lions look to be that team because they did so well. You feel like that's the safe bet. But let them fall short of the Super Bowl and just wait for those shows.
Well, but here's the thing. Okay, fall short of the Super Bowl. You lost Hutch. Now you need to get a guy so you won't fall short of the Super Bowl. But everyone, we'll be fine. Everything will be just, no, ask for more. Ask for your GM to go get you a guy.
Because, David, in this town, the logo for pretty much every team should just be a person kicking a can. That should be the logo for all the teams because that's what they all do. They kick, yes, just like that. They kick the can. Give us a few more years. The young guys, the youth movement, just wait. Yeah,
I blame the media. It's the media's fault. Media drives that bus. They drive that narrative. They carry that water. Demand more. Why is it not acceptable in other towns? Because the media doesn't allow it. And the public follows. You create a culture here of patience. You create a culture here of fear. I mean, hell, look at it. We're in year 6 of the Iser plan, and you still have people vilifying people if they don't drink his bathwater. You got to be kidding me. I mean, the Pistons nobody cares about, so that's just different. They've achieved a special notoriety. But with the Tigers and Lions, it's the same thing. I mean, look at Cookies and Rieger. They had the audacity to ask for Matt Chapman, and they got vilified for an entire summer. We're sitting here today, and I'm just like, look, Lions are going to be good, but the goal was the Super Bowl. And I just don't think you can do it without Hutch. And it's like, oh, my God, I mean, let Brad cook. And it's like, then why watch the games? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're just going to sit there and just eat whatever you're fed, I mean, dude, think for yourself. You're a fan. What the hell's the problem with wanting to read an Adam Schefter report that the Lions inquired about Max Crosby? Why is that bad? I'm not demanding it. I'm not calling Brad Holmes a failure if he can't execute it. But I am saying I think it is part of your job description. You don't always get to do what you want to do. Sometimes you got to do what you need to do. You know what that's called? Being an adult. Mm-hmm. Why would it be any different when you're running a team? You think you just get to do what you want to do? I don't know. I live in the upside down. I'm out of my mind. Let's go to the people, shall we? David, who's held the longest? That's where we're going.
Let's go to, Kenny's on the phone, so he can't, I'm looking at it. Go to Sam. I'm sorry, Adam.
Adam is yelling at me. 97.1, Adam, how you doing, buddy?
Good, how about yourself?
Excellent.
So, I don't see how we don't go after a Crosby, a Miles Garrett, a Hassan Reddick. The arguments I hear are, you know, salary cap, which A, doesn't exist, B, having the problem of, we got so many valuable guys. We got to pick who to pay, and we got to get rid of someone. I mean, do they not remember the last few decades or what I at least grew up with? I mean, it's an awesome problem to have. I would hope to have that for the Lions. And then the only other arguments that I hear all revolve around, I don't know if that's what Brad Holmes would do or something with Brad Holmes. I feel like people are personally trying to back what they think Brad Holmes would do when – it's not what the Lions need. The Lions need to try and get someone, and it's like everyone's forgot the beginning of the year when we were looking for someone to pair on the other side to make Hutch effective, and now that we've lost Hutch, I just don't get how people are thinking, yeah, you know what, we lost our main guy, we were looking for someone to help him out, but somehow it's going to be fine because our offense scores a lot. You know, I just don't get it.
Ask yourself this, right, and it's easy for us to say, but just work with me on this. Will you miss 3 first-round picks if you add Max Crosby? If you believe you're picking 28th, 32nd, 27th, 29th, if I add Max Crosby to this team, are you really going to miss those picks?
No, especially not with what Holmes has shown has been his number one talent, which isn't going, unfortunately, isn't going and acquiring, you know, big.
No, I agree with you. Look, I'm just making a point. Like, Adam Schefter reported that, you know, the Raiders were offered a first-round pick this summer, for Crosby, and they wouldn't even entertain it, nor should they have. But after you've traded Devontae Adams, you're going to be firing Antonio Pierce. The franchise is in disrepair. They're going to draft a rookie quarterback. Max Crosby is not going to play winning football. Now, if he wants to be there, that is his prerogative. The point I'm making is if you call the Raiders and you go, look, we're offering two first plus, get shut down. Mm-hmm. Get shut down. But after, I would love to know Max Crosby's feelings today after they've left him on an island. Because now Davante Adams is gone. This season is gone. Mm-hmm. Call and ask.
Yeah. You've already made the quarterback switch. So, yeah, this is pretty much, it's O'Connell or bust. And you're probably looking at bust. You're hoping now to get a Shedeur Sanders or somebody else to come in here and lead your team next year.
And I'm looking at the future. You're looking at Max. You're not playing winning football for 2 years now. Mm-hmm. Right? So, again, if he wants to stay that bad, I tip my cap. Do your thing. He has a right to want to stay. But my job, if I'm Brad Holmes, is to offer him an off-ramp. Do you want to go and compete for the Super Bowl the next 3 years? Because that's what we're doing over here. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the picks.
Yep.
At a certain point, the picks don't mean anything because those players aren't starting for you.
Man, you're preaching to the choir. Yeah, I want.
No,
to
I know. I'm not yelling at you, Rico. I get so flustered.
I want it to be that whoever the assistant is like, it's Detroit on the line again. They got a new offer. What is it this time? Tell them no. It's Detroit on the line again. That's not bad. Tell them to sweeten it with this. Like, you're calling so much that the guy is sticking his head in the room. It's Detroit. Is it? Yeah, okay. All right. 313.
I want to hear that Sheila had Davis over in the corner saying, you know what, dude? Brad Holmes wants to talk to you guys right now.
Yeah, answer exactly. His calls. Your team stinks.
You know, on Mondays, we play that locker room audio when Dan Campbell addresses the team and he hands out the game balls. Awesome moment where Jared Goff gives the ball back to Dan Campbell. He joins us this morning. Dan, what did that feel like? You were called the rock of this team and Goff gave you the ball back.
No, look, that's it's pretty humbling, actually. It's, they don't need to do that. And I'm very appreciative of it. And, you know, I love this team, and they mean something to me. And I appreciate the work they put in. They didn't need to do that, but I appreciate it very much.
Obviously, the big conversation overshadowing a great performance, and we'll talk more about the great performance, is the loss of Aiden Hutchinson. How can you measure the loss? Do you even care to measure the loss? But who needs to step up that's on the roster right now to help fill some of the void, what they can fill?
Yeah, I mean, it's like what's been stated. I mean, let's start with Hutch. You know, man, what the amount of work that he's put into this, and the way he trains and the way he focuses and his attention to detail and the way he elevates his teammates, you know, the guys around him, is going to be missed. It's going to be missed. There's no way around that. But to your point, that production has got to go somewhere for us to stay as potent as we've been. And so that means that Mac's going to have to – he's going to have to play consistently at a high level. I thought he played outstanding the other day. And he's going to do it again. And we're going to need him to do it again. And Levi, continue to play at a high level. We're going to need Pascal to continue, play at a high level, maybe a little bit more. You know, Reader's going to need to help us even more. You know, he's probably going to play a little bit more for us. And then we talk about some of these other guys, whether it's, you know, Ukwu or Agude or Muhammad that we brought in, this Cam Gill, could be Houston. And those guys got to help. And so do the backers, you know, Alex and Jack. You know, because we may use them a little bit in some of these areas. So it's really it's going to take everybody on that defense to elevate a little bit here and do a little bit more, and we'll be just fine.
As you can imagine, it was kind of a somber day for us around here, callers, hosts, people looking at just the loss of Aiden Hutchinson. What's your message to Lions fans who feel like the Super Bowl dream is dead or dying after losing a player as significant as Aiden is?
Well, I mean, we could stop playing. You want to just end the season now? We could do that. Let's just call it up. No, it's not over. This is why you go through all the training you do, and this is why we stress all the time here, and the players know this. Now, we play with three phases here, and you play with 11 on offense, 11 on defense, 11 on special teams, and we can adjust and do whatever we need to do. We can raise the levy, we can lower it, and we will find a way to play any game and every game and find a way to win. And because that's all that matters is find a way to win and get a W. And it's going to take everybody on this team. And as long as everybody holds the line and does their job, does their responsibility, no more, no less, we'll find a way to win.
David Montgomery on the offensive side of things, I've called him a tone setter. I love the way he runs. He runs with anger. He runs with violence. How much does he, when he has one of those runs, does it motivate not just the offense, but the entire team?
Yeah, I would say it does. You know, that guy is, you know, he creates a ripple effect. You know, he knows how to transfer his energy positively to the team. And, you know, I mean, I've told him before, I wish I could have played with him, you know, because he does. He's inspiring to watch, and he just refuses to go down, and he's violent in everything he does. And, you know, every play that he has, you know, you see the runs. Everybody sees the runs. They don't see the protections all the time. They don't see him go up there and smack a linebacker in the face and give us time to hit an explosive pass. Everything the guy does, no different than like St. Brown. Like when they run a play, they're running to win. They don't just go out there and go through the motions and, well, I think I did my job. Like they're doing their job, but they're doing it and they're trying to finish in a dominating position. Like that's how you win. They're trying to win the rep every time, man. And, man, just imagine if collectively everybody did that at all times. You'd be unstoppable. At all times.
We're talking to Lions head coach Dan Campbell, and you said it after the game, foot on the gas against the Dallas Cowboys, and you guys were throwing the ball to offensive linemen. I mean, it felt like there was something that you guys wanted to prove in that game. Did you feel like you guys did that?
Well, we just, look, man, we wanted to get a W, and we've been beaten twice. I mean, we go down there, and we found ways to lose those games, and that was one of the points here was, man, at some point in this game, it's going to be time to where we can really take this game over, or something's going to happen and we're not going to be able to get out of it. And it was, man, we got to be able to finish this game out. And we can't let off the gas, and we got to go. And that was the name of the game, and our guys finished. And, look, you don't know what's going to come up every week, and you don't know the matchups. You don't know, you know, what plays are you going to be able to run versus your opponent, or calls on defense. And so you better use them, because there's no guarantee that it's going to come up again. A little different than like a division opponent. You know, like Minnesota, we're going to play them, but we're going to have them again later. So there may be things you don't use in the game that can come up the second time. Whereas this one, no, you use everything you got, and it's set up for that defense, and you use it against that defense.
We talk about the violence of David Montgomery, another guy that people don't, I don't think they see as a violent type player, Jameson Williams. Mm. When I watch him block, he does block with violence. What has he been able to do down the field in as a blocker to unlock more of this offense?
I tell you what, it's hard to beat a receiver who runs a 3.940 that will try to knock your head off.
Yes.
I mean, it's a glorious thing. It really is. And that's why I love our players, man. And that's why Brad and I, we try to bring in guys that, man, they're talented football playing dudes, but they have violence to them. And this guy plays that way. And he knows, no different than anybody else. You know, Saint sets the tone in that room, and Leaf, I mean, those two guys, man, will block all day long, and they will block anybody you ask them to block. Linebackers, DNs, safeties, corners, and J-Mo is no different. He's walked right in, and he's carried the line there. And the addition of TP, you know, Tim Patrick, I mean, that guy's big physical. And it's another one of the reasons why our run game is as good as it is. It starts with the O-line. David and Gibbs are the engine, and The O-line's the engine, but those guys make it go. But the receivers, you get the explosives because of the receivers, man. They're the ones who are blocking support players all day long.
A couple weeks back, you had said you thought the offense would get going right around the bye week. Back-to-back 40-point games on either side of the bye week. Do you feel like the offense has finally hit its stride? Is this the version of the offense you saw coming?
Yes, I did. I mean, this—you knew it was just a matter of time. You got to work kinks out, and things come up, and you just keep working through it. You know, there's so much detail that goes into being an explosive offense, really in the run and pass game, and it takes time. And you hope you find it early, but it's not always that case. But if you trust the coaches that you have and you trust the players that you have that are running those plays, then you know it's coming. And like clockwork, these guys are finding their stride, and we're clicking pretty good right now. And the interesting thing is, even the other day, man, there's things that we left out there. And those are the ones you keep striving for. You want more out of it, man. It's like, if we clean up a couple of things here, we're even better than what we showcased the other day. And so I think that's what we got to do, is clean up the errors, and how can we be even better than we've been?
I think Kevin O'Connell's a terrific coach. I am shocked that Minnesota is 5-0. What concerns you about the Minnesota Vikings this weekend?
Well, look, I feel like it's every year. These guys, yeah, they're talented, and they are well coached. I think O'Connell does a great job. I think bringing in Flores, going on year two now, has been an excellent addition for them. They've got talent. They've got one of the best receivers in the game, highly explosive. Darnold's playing great. You know, this running back that was at Green Bay, you know, is played really well for them. I can go down the line. You know, Grenard, Van Ginkle, those additions. So they pose you know, issues, really. And for us, let's start offensively. They pose some issues now with protections and identifications, and because they'll hit you on some zeros, some of this hot pressure stuff. And then, you know, Van Ginkle now, is he a rusher? Is he a dropper? Metellus, that's the other thing. They come in a nickel, and what is he? Is he a linebacker? Is he a nickel? Is he playing in a box? Is he rush? So, you know, they have a pretty smart crew, and they are upgraded talent-wise, and so we just, man, we got to be on it now. We got to be able to see what they're doing. We're on the road. It's going to be loud. And then, like I say, their offense is cooking at a high level right now, and they do a great job scheme-wise. And they're going to make sure they try to scheme their guys open. And you know, and like I say, they've got an explosive receiver who can go the distance on any play. And then on the other side, you got Addison. You know, so they got some weapons here.
I don't know how much of a deep dive you've done into Sam Darnold when he was with the Jets or with Carolina, but he seems like a different player. What is he doing that is better this year than he's done in the start of his career?
Well, I think he's much more patient. You know, you can tell that he's taking what's there, first of all, and while he was doing that then he's begun to gain confidence, and now he's taking these shots down the field. So now he is looking down the field. He's fitting it into tight windows. He's allowing his receivers to make plays. And then, oh, by the way, you know what? If it's not there, then I'll check it down to Aaron Jones, you know, and let him go do something with it. So I just think that now the run game helps. They're running the heck out of the ball, and that's allowing him to do a little bit of the play pass. And then, look, the other thing is, when you got Jefferson over there, you're not going to just let Jefferson run free. Everybody's trying to double him, which you can still throw it in there to him. He'll take it over three guys. But if not, and you'd like to take a one-on-one, then usually it's a pretty clean look to throw to your receiver, tight end, or back who's got a one-on-one. And he's making the throws. He's accurate that way. So, Darnold's a good athlete. He's a good passer. He's playing at a high level. And, look, last time we played him was Carolina. He played pretty good against us. So I expect to get a really good quarterback.
Dan, you've been great with your time. I just wanted to circle back to one more thing. John had asked you about internal guys stepping up. You mentioned Brad always looks for guys that can help the team externally. If you guys were to trade for a pass rusher or an edge guy, what type of guy? Because we, in our world, we see all these lists of names. What type of guy would you want to add to try to replace some of that production?
Type of guy.
Like skill set or traits?
Oh, I got you. I thought you were going to get into the nuts and bolts of the human being.
That matters too for you guys. We know that.
For all that. Honestly, I think if anything, you're looking for really a role player. Somebody, I think, that can set an edge, that can transition into rush. It doesn't have to be somebody. I mean, look, as you guys know, these elite rushers and edge setters and all that don't just fall off trees, you know. And or if they do, then you're going to have to sell the farm to get them. But I do think there could be some guys out there, man, that'll fit into what we're doing defensively. They can serve a role. They can help. Maybe supplement some of what's going on inside with what we got with Mac and Levi and Reeder and those guys. And I think more than anything, you're looking for at least a complimentary piece.
He's Lions head coach Dan Campbell. We can get into the deeper inner workings of human minds another week. I appreciate some of your time.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Dan.
Good stuff. It's Dan Campbell. It's 97.1.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Great to be with you here on a Thursday, a beautiful fall day in southeast Michigan. We got the Blitz thingy today at 10:30. Also, will we see this at a Lions game for the first time this year? That's at 11 o'clock. Maybe I should say, will we not see this? I got to tell you, though, the idea that you just said Mark Davis doesn't strike you as the kind of guy that's playing chess.
Well, it's not that he can't. I'm sure he knows how to play chess, but when it comes to the landscape of upper management in football, I don't think that's in his bag of tricks. Yeah.
Then we're just reacting to the quote that he said as it pertains to Max Crosby in any trade. Quote, it's not happening. 248-539-9797. Jeremiah. Whoa. Jeremiah, you there?
Yes, I sure am.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, gotcha. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing, fellas?
Good.
Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to weigh in. Obviously, the biggest story is Hutch, you know, going down with that horrific injury. Just everybody's opinion on who we should grab, who we shouldn't grab. Honestly, like, I have faith, as many people do now, more than, you know, when it first started in this organization and the front office and Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, letting him cook, letting him do his thing. I am of the opinion that it's not now or never, but name another year in this entire organization's history where we've been on the cusp of not just getting to the Super Bowl, but theoretically winning it. It's always been a dream for every fan that has ever watched this team, and it's been mine for a long time. But I feel like we should go grab a big name. Do what you got to do to grab a big name. Crosby has ties to Michigan, as we all know. He has said on multiple different platforms that if he could go to another team, Detroit would be the team.
Did you hear? Did you hear what the owner said out there?
Yeah, I did. I did hear what you just said on the radio too. So with the Davis family, right? I mean, we all know that history. I don't think, like you said, he's not the person to. He doesn't seem like a person who's playing chess. I agree with that. I mean, look at all the many different decisions that organization has made in its history, not just with Mark, but with Al, his father. They've been very, very questionable decisions. So even though he's saying, hey, he's not going anywhere, I don't really trust that. Because,
you don't you don't believe him.
I don't buy it. I mean, I think money talks. He's a rich owner, just like Jerry Jones. And I just don't think I don't want to say care as much about their fan base as our organization does right now, but I don't know, man.
If you don't believe him, that's fine. And I would just say we are operating in a world where it's cool not to believe him. I don't think it's cool to hear that, not believe him, and I don't think you were doing this, but later trashing Brad Holmes if he doesn't get Max Crosby. Now, with that said, can they get it? Still get a big name? I think Hassan Reddick could be had. That's pretty clear. And that's a guy that can absolutely get to the quarterback. And that would be a big name. I think that's the only big name deal that can get done. I don't think Myles Garrett is likely to get done. You're talking about, you know, salary ramifications beyond this year and a massive return for Cleveland, which is what they would be looking for. You don't start a rebuild around a fourth round pick. Like, they're not going to sell him for cheap. So if they are going to go that route, they're wanting, I'm going to guess, they're going to ask for multiple first round picks. So, you know, them making a move, yeah, they'll make a move. Them making a big move, well, I really think there's only one that can keep us on the reality highway, and that's Reddick. But that's because I think Reddick is more likely to agree to play out the year in Detroit than the Lions are likely to agree, or other teams are likely to agree on compensation for a major trade. The weird thing about Brad Holmes is the way they are operating. Let's be clear here. The way that Brad Holmes has set this thing up, he's not trying to win a Super Bowl. He's trying to win a bunch. He really is. That's the way they're setting this thing up. We're going to draft, and we're going to keep the talented players that we want to keep in-house, and we're going to keep drafting. He's trying to win multiple Super Bowls. And I know people are going to say, just give me one, please. And it's because we can all say we've been waiting our entire lives for this. He is not on the same timeline that we are. And I think it's, you know, he may change his gear and say, I'm going to accelerate to try and win this one. But it feels to me like he's trying to win multiple Super Bowls.
Brad's being ultra responsible about how he's building this team, right, guys? Like, just F them picks is, if you go do that and you lose, you might be screwed for years come along. You know, the year after that, year after that, year after that. He's doing it in a way where if we do lose the Super Bowl, we're going to be right back in it the very next year and the very next year after that and the very next year after that. That's how Brad's doing it.
Yeah, but if you were to find some way to trade for Myles Garrett, you could still be on that path. And I think same thing with Hassan Reddick. If you trade for him and then sign him to an extension, you can do the same thing. And there's definitely a window, not only for this year, but for the next couple of years to come, because he has taken care of all the players to this point that he needs to. And I'm sure that he's left money, and he's always keeping in mind, have to have money to sign Hutch down the road. And because you can change and manipulate the cap as much as you want further on down the road with, like Cookies was saying in the morning show, with voidable years or just redoing contracts, whatever it is, they can be competitive for a Super Bowl for a number of years in a row here. Now, at some point, will you have to make awfully tough decisions? Yep. But every team does. At some point, you're going to have to make that decision. Do I cut this guy? Do I need to rework his contract? What's best for the team? But that last caller, 100%. Except
that what, right?
I mean, we just went 10 minutes about it, and then it goes, so they should go after, have you heard what Max Crosby has to say?
Yeah.
But have you heard what Mark Davis has to say? Now, some people, like I said, Doug, there's going to be that small percentage of people that will always hold out the hope, or they're just of the opinion that no matter what ownership says in public, it doesn't matter because they can always go back on it.
Let's keep in mind, too, that I'll give you some F them picks moves where teams really went for it. Denver gave up 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and a fifth for Russell Wilson. They were like, we're going for it. We are selling. Cleveland gave up 3 firsts, a fourth, 2 fourths, and a third for Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Those are trades that were F them picks moves that didn't work out. There's the F them picks move that the Rams made that did. So F them picks does have a potential downside, Kang, as you mentioned.
But yeah, I was just going to say there's also a commonality with those three moves. They were for quarterback.
Yeah, but it doesn't, in fact, those should have worked more than getting an edge rusher.
Well, what I guess my point is you give up more for the quarterback than would for so.
But it's not about, I'm just saying, when you go F them picks and you go F them picks for a quarterback, you really think it's going to work.
Yeah.
And those, for every Stafford one that did, there's Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson who didn't. I'm not saying you give up three firsts for Myles Garrett, but I'm just saying just because you get Myles Garrett doesn't mean he's going to be the Stafford of this correct. Deal. He could be the Pat Swilling as well.
Yeah, correct.
And I think that's what Brad Holmes is guarding against.
Yep. 248-539-9797. Lions on the field against the Vikings on Sunday. Will we not see this for the first time this year? We'll get to that. Obviously, other than Aiden Hutchinson, we'll get to that at 11:02. Swing Around the League next, 97.1 The Ticket.
If you want to hear about the Amon-Ra slander, Odyssey.com rewind. But we have something for you. And no show had these quotes. I mean, I'm not rooting against the people I work with, but I kind of am. Because it's fun when no one has talked about what you're talking about. It's tremendous. So these quotes are from Max Crosby. Now bear with me before you start turning the channel or rubbing your Let Brad Cook tattoo. Okay? Just calm down. I'm going to read these to you, Pro Football Talk, defensive end Max Crosby, who in the past has said he didn't want to be traded, and Mark Davis has said won't be traded, addressed the rebuild dynamic with reporters in the locker room. Quote, I'm not here to rebuild. I'm here to win. So, you know, I don't know, whatever that means. But yeah, I'm here to win now. And wherever I'm going to be, I'm going to be here to win. So that's what matters to me. Now, Pro Football Talk also, because this is on video, you can watch this. Watch the quotes in the attached video, and at one point he flashes a wry, knowing smile. It's gone almost as quickly as it arrives, but it's unmistakable. He was thinking something that he didn't say. He then said something interesting. Wherever I'm going to be here to win. The hell does that mean? Well, here's the deal. I will never get mad at you for trying. But people, let's put our cards on the table. You need to make the Raiders say no. Before you call up about the money, cap ain't real. Adjust the deal, figure it out. I don't know, use some whiteout and do whatever. It doesn't matter. The cap ain't real. You'll figure it out. You have Ivy League educated people who do it. So just save that phone call, okay? Here's the offer. Who says no? You or the Raiders? Not one, not two, three first-round picks. One first-round pick for each year you are sipping from the Super Bowl chalice. You will get Max this year to get your season on track. And then the next two seasons, you will have Max Crosby opposite Aiden Hutchinson. To quote the movie Taken, good luck. I want to know who says no. Because it's easy for old bowl cut to say, well, we're not going to trade him. Three first round picks. Max Crosby's telling you I ain't here to rebuild. You just traded Devontae Adams. You're drafting a rookie quarterback. Max, I hate to break it to you. You're rebuilding. Three first-round picks. Don't alter the deal. Don't call up and say, I'll do two, but no. It's supposed to hurt. But here's the point. To Rico, to Kenny, to David, and to all of you in Metro Detroit on this beautiful foliage afternoon. Give me one reason not to do that deal. One. The next three seasons you will possess two of the top five edge rushers in the game. Your Super Bowl window is this year, the year after, and maybe one more after that. That's it. Whatever happens in 2027, DGAF. Mm-hmm. Give me one reason not to make that deal. And who says no? You or the Raiders? 248-539-9797. That's not hot take radio. It's not. If we all believe you're picking between 25 and 32 now, next year, and the year after, what do I care?
Glorify a second. You're right.
So, go to the Raiders
and make old Bowl Cut say no. What?
Because I'm thinking about Mark Davis's haircut.
Yes.
It's a bowl cut.
No.
You know who will fight me on it. It won't be the Raiders. No. It'll be this fan base. Mm-hmm.
That's too many picks is what they'll say.
Why?
Oh, I'm not speaking for them. I know. I honestly don't care.
Pretend to be them.
Okay. I'm lying. Because that's not what we're about. We're building. We need to let
F you.
We need Brad Holmes to have as many picks. Look at how great his drafts are going. Mm-hmm. He's hitting on all his first round selections, and these are cornerstone pieces to this team. So therefore, not only can we win now and in the next 3 years, how about we win for the next 10 years?
Because that's not how it works. And you know it. And people, you know it deep down.
And for the record, I was speaking as Lion fan. I don't believe anything that I just said. I just want that caveat out there.
David, I need you to isolate that. We're going to need that for tomorrow's show. So listen, Max Crosby just said, don't worry about it. It's not slanderous. Tell me. He just said, I'm not here to rebuild. I'm here to win. And you know, I don't know, but whatever that means, but when I'm here to win now and wherever I'm going to be here to win. With a weird smile, like he wanted to say something else, but he didn't. So call up the Raiders and make the offer. Give me one reason not to. And do not say the salary cap. We have a rule on this show. The cap ain't real. You will figure it out. Mm-hmm. He's on an affordable deal. He is signed for 3 years. Yes, he was born in Lapeer, but he grew up in Texas. The point is, he played ball at Eastern. He's familiar with the area. And you're going to win if you come here. Him and Aiden Hutchinson? Are you kidding me? You will cause defensive coordinators to hide under the covers. You will have the best offensive line in football and the best defensive line in football. Super Bowl. You win one Super Bowl. Nothing that happens afterwards matters. Nothing. We can all die happy. Three first-round picks. Who says no? Because I don't think it's the Raiders. How would you say no?
You can't. You can't. I mean, because for the Raiders, it's enough for them to really consider. Because it'll go from, how many first-round picks? Huh. Now you start thinking, we're going to get a new quarterback. We could add a lot of new pieces.
Think about this. You're going to be drafting a quarterback this year. That means Max has burned his year 27 season. Next year with a rookie quarterback, your season is burnt. The last year of Max's deal would be the first year, realistically, if everything went right, that the Raiders would be able to present Max Crosby with a winning culture. Three first-round picks. And I get a three-year window all in. Mm-hmm. And it's win with the tip of the sword. Go ahead, guys. Make sure your reasoning's sound. Give me one. And before you call up and you say, well, I'll do it for one or two. No. It's supposed to hurt. Because the idea of this is I'm presenting an offer that you know has a better than 50% shot of the Raiders saying yes. Do not roll up to the doorstep offering nonsense. They will hang up the phone on you. Mm-hmm. And you got to outbid other teams that are calling them. Three first-round picks. Who says no? And do you buy Crosby's comment?
I think Crosby could be convinced to leave. Because right now, this is a man that's torn. Because the first comments that I've heard from him was like, "Nah, I want to be here. I want to be here when the Raiders turn this thing around." What do you mean Devontae's gone? Hey, Devontae, right? Wait, he's not here?
Think about it. Last two years, they have let go of three of their top five players. Derek Carr, Devontae Adams, Josh Jacobs. All gone. Why stay? Mm-hmm. Well, because Christian Wilkins showed up to town?
No. And here's the other thing. Here's why you would do this if you are the Lions. Worst case scenario, Aiden doesn't come back and he's not the same Aiden anymore. Now he's just, he's the the complimentary player to Max Crosby, that Max becomes the new guy. Okay? I know we all wish success and Aiden comes back and he's playing the same high level that he did, but this gives you insurance. And if you're the Lions, I would gladly sacrifice three first rounders knowing I have one of the best defensive ends in the NFL, because you don't know if you'll get that in the draft. But I know what I have right now.
248-539-9797. Let's see where David is at. Go ahead, deflator. Who says no, David?
I'm not a deflator on this at all.
Three first round picks.
Do this deal yesterday. Because of what you all just said, you would have the best defensive line in the NFL by far. You locked up Aleem. You would have Max Crosby locked up, and you would have Hutch coming.
And you'd
back.
Have DJ Reader next year.
Correct.
So at least for now and next year. You don't get to guarantee 2 years from now, but at least if you have those two edges and Aleem.
Correct.
You could start Kenny's mom.
And
it doesn't matter who the fourth lineman is.
But that's why I do it, because, of course, there's no guarantee you win it this year because you don't get Hutch back. I get all that. But you give yourself a chance by getting him this
year. You got a way better shot with Crosby than you do whatever gym class hero they bring in here. Right?
But what happens next year and the year after that is you are, I think by far, the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
And may I add another layer to the onion? Is this not the best division in football?
Yes.
With the best quarterback play?
Yes.
You want a Caleb-proof yourself? You want a Jordan Love-proof yourself? I can't bring myself to say Darnold, but I'll work with it.
Say it.
If you want to make sure this is your division, this is the way.
I like it.
So, Max's comments, and here's the deal. But, I don't care what old bowl cut said.
No, I think it's here. It's going to hurt. Because three first-round selections, because you have to break the mindset, because it's unfortunate, but it's still there. For Detroit fans, that first-round selection was the Super Bowl. That was the thing that we all got excited about, because you didn't ever experience good like this before. But this is what good teams do. You do sacrifice the future for the right now. And you're in your window. And all your players are locked up. So you don't have to worry about anybody. Hutch is the only one you really have to worry about paying right now. Him and Gibbs. I would do the move.
You got to be, when you're chasing a Super Bowl, you got to be like Kenny at the bar.
Chasing a nut.
No.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.